Revelation chapter 9. We'll be looking at verses 13 down through verse 21, Revelation 9. We looked at the fifth seal, or the fifth trumpet, last week, and how that the key was given to Satan that fell. It was given unto him. He was given authority to open the bottomless pit, and when he did, this smoke ascended up over the earth, a thick cloud of heresy, and from that smoke, that cloud, came these locusts, which is a picture of false prophets, going into the world, and they had stings in their tails, and they poisoned men's minds. And that was, you know, in chapter 8, he says, woe, woe, woe for the three things that's going to come hereafter. And what a judgment when God allows men, and he gives men strong delusions, and they believe a lie. Why? That they all might be damned. Who believe not, had no pleasure in the truth, would not receive the truth. You know, man's responsible. God holds men accountable. Now, God is very long-suffering, those vessels that are fitted for destruction. But there comes a day when the iniquity of the Amorites is full. And God said, that's enough. I've allowed it, or I have suffered it to go on long enough. He allows men to do what they want to do, and then he brings judgment. Judgment. But here we see in this sixth seal, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying unto the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared. Now notice that. They were prepared. This is no accident. Someone said they're standing ready. They are prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. And what's the reason? For to slay, to destroy the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in division, and them that sat on the horses having breastplates of fire, and jasmuth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouth. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents in their heads. And they had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed, but these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold. You notice how it goes down from gold to silver to brass to stone and of wood, which neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. So even in those two verses, we see why he's bringing judgment upon the world. It's not that men are not religious. Oh, they're religious, very religious. They just hate God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Here in this trumpet tonight, this describes war. Not one particular war, but all wars, past, present, and future. It's kind of ironic that our message tonight is along these lines, and I saw on the news this evening that it was, I think, 75 years ago today was the end of World War II. And they had Woody Wilson on there. You know, they said he's 97. And he was on the island of Iwo Jima, just like Joe was. But, you know, you think just in that century, within just a little over 20 years, you had the World War. Then you had World War I. You had World War II. Then you had the Vietnam conflict, or it was a war. And then you had the Korean War. All those wars, they served a purpose. Think of the men that the Lord raised up, wicked, vile men. He allowed them to be born, and they served his purpose. They served his purpose. We saw that he said, this woe that we looked at last week, and this woe, this one that we'll look at this evening. You can find this, our Lord made mention of this in Matthew 24, if you want to turn there. Matthew 24, verse 4. The disciples said, when were all these things going to come to pass? Now, I know the things in Matthew 24, some of them relate to when the temple was destroyed in AD 70, not a century later or a generation later. But it also can have reference to the days in which we live. The last days, you know, are from the time of Christ ascending back to glory until now. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Matthew 24, 4, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I preach Christ, and shall deceive many. Doesn't that describe the woe that we looked at last week? They come, and how do they deceive? They say, we preach Christ. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows, just like this talks about in Romans 8, like the earth is in travail as she goes through birth pains, waiting to be delivered. That's this earth. She groans under the weight of sin, under the things of sin. Wars are reminders that God is judging the wicked. That's what they're reminders of. Though these wars bring much sorrow and usually are fought over just foolish things. If I'm wrong with this, you can blame Sandy. I think she told me that. I think the First World War was fought over a prince being killed. Isn't that correct? Over a man being killed? And look how many people died in that war. And in other words, fighting over foolish things. Somebody just wants what you've got. Somebody wants what just another country's got. And they may be allies for years and then one turns on the other one. They are all, just like we talked about Sunday, the providence of God in that wheel. They're just little bitty cogs in all the wheel of God's providence. All those things happened on time. They happened for a reason and they happened on purpose. God uses those things to save his people and to judge this world. And he will, and he does. War, someone said, are the inventions of depraved men for power. They don't mind to destroy lives for their cause. They could care less. Could care less. In Romans 3:14, it describes men, listen, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction, oh, that's what wars bring. Destruction and misery are in their way, in the way of peace. The way of what? Peace. They have not known. What's the opposite of war? It's peace. They don't know peace. They have no peace in their conscience. And all they know is war. War, fighting. I want my way. And if I don't, we're going to start a war. We're going to have a fight. We're going to argue over it. I'm right and you're wrong. Wars. But man in his thirst for blood is overruled by the power of God. Peter stands there on the day of Pentecost. And you just imagine. Pentecost was only 40 days after the Feast of Passover. So we're talking just a little over a month since our Lord's been crucified. It's fresh on people's minds. He said, that Jesus, that same Jesus that you crucified outside Jerusalem, God hath raised him from the dead and made him Lord. Having been delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, this all happened because God decreed it. You've took him and by wicked hands have crucified him and slain him. You're responsible for what you did, but you did exactly what God wanted to be done. And you did exactly what you wanted to do. I think it was Barnard that said one time, if God hadn't restrained those men, they would have took our Lord and put him in a pot and boiled him and ate him. That's us. And God rules it and overrules it. You say, look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. All to fulfill his purpose. So I want us to look at four things from these verses. In verses 13 and 14, the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God. And that voice speaking is the Son of God from that altar of incense, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, he commands them to loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. The powers of this world are restrained by our God. You know, you think about it, that's been a... I can remember when I was a boy, I can remember men and young boys who died in the Vietnam War. And I know we fought in skirmishes, but they were not wars like that. I mean, I know we... Some of them lasted on for years, and that's just, I think, I don't know what it's for. But we don't know anything like some people did and what they went through and how God uses those things to align nations. He uses those things to bring about the salvation of his people. The voice from the horns, as I said, is our Lord Jesus Christ. The member, what is this context? What's the context here? Why is he bringing these judgments upon the earth? Why are these woes? Why did he turn loose and they opened up this pit? And from this pit came false prophets. And why do all these nations now gather together for war? They are prepared for this day and for this hour. Because this is speaking of judgment. It's vindication of God's elect. And the name of Christ and his gospel in this world, he will destroy his enemies. He will. Mark it down. Because we read back in Revelation 6, verse 9, and when they opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? God says, I've had enough of it. And then he says, I'm going to judge the world. And he manifests it. Why is all this happening? It's as a reason for it. Surely the wrath. Now listen, Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of men shall praise him. The wrath of men, yes, it praises him. It praises his honor, his glory, his sovereign power. And the rest of the wrath, he'll restrain it. He says, okay, you can only go so far. I can't imagine living when Hitler roamed this earth. You know, he was in the First World War, and then he got bitter, and then he went in his propaganda, and he raised up that nation against all the world. And God was done with him. He put him down. He served the Lord's purpose. How could that serve a purpose when over 6 million Jews were destroyed? How could that serve God's purpose? They was a remnant according to the election of grace. We misjudge things by what we see. God's ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out. But it seems like he said, you're going to come through great tribulation in this world. But be of good courage. He said, I've overcome the world. As I thought about these verses, I thought about in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. This is nothing new. Can you imagine when Paul lived and wicked rulers ruled? One especially was named Nero. He was a wicked, vile, ungodly thing. That's what he was. And Paul said in writing to Timothy, he's encouraging this young preacher. He said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Let me read to you what Brother Henry said on that verse. He said, prayer, brother, church, is especially to be made for rulers, governors and those in places of authority in the country. For they wield great power, good or evil. They can preserve or disturb the peace of a country. And they can protect or destroy the lives and properties of men. And then he gives two reasons why we should pray for them. The Lord sets up kings and he removes them. Remember that. No matter who they are, you know why they're there. No accident. Here's what it says in Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and he giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Look at just the nation, the history of Babylon. When Nebuchadnezzar came in, God allowed that wicked man to destroy the temple of God and take all the vessels of the temple back to Babylon. And you know what came after the Babylon? The Assyrians. Persia and the Assyrians, remember, where they made a decree that whatever the king said, it couldn't be changed. Remember when they cast Daniel into the prison? And that's when Darius was ruling and he was conquered. God said, "You see the handwriting on the wall?" And that night, the Medes and the Persians, you mean God used them wicked nations? Yep, to destroy Babylon, to take it over. And you come after later, Alexander the Great and others, you know why? God raised those men up. Yeah, he raised them up. And he served his purpose. He said, that's why God raises up, he raises up kings and he removes kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And secondly, our Lord's influence, he influences their actions. Listen, remember this verse, Proverbs 21:1. The king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turns it whichever way he wills. They decide one day, "Oh, I think I'll take over Babylon. I think I'll invade. I think I'll send some airplanes and bomb Pearl Harbor." Why did they do that? They did it because they wanted to. But in doing that, I want you to remember, God raises up kings and he puts them down. As I read in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, "For the scripture said unto Pharaoh," that ruler of Egypt. Remember the first ruler, Pharaoh, he knew Joseph. This Pharaoh did not know Joseph. This Pharaoh, this king didn't know the Lord, is what that's saying. He didn't know the Lord. He didn't care about the Lord. All he intended to do was to kill God's people. That's what he wanted to do. Made them slaves to build his treasured cities. That's what he wanted. But in the end, God judged him. Yeah, you drowned his firstborn in the Nile River. And you know what? He drowned that whole army in the Red Sea in his own time. Now, verse 14. When men are ripe for punishment, God's wrath will be poured out upon the world. Now, you think about it. It was 400 years at least from the time that God promised to Abraham the land of Canaan till the time that Israel came in and took possession of it. You know why? During all that time, for 400 years, Israel's just, there was only 70 souls that went down to Egypt, but they several million when they come out of Egypt. The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And even when Israel would not believe God and go into the land of Canaan, that he give Canaan another 40 years. But when he marched in, the iniquity of the Amorites is full. I've had enough of it. He marched in and he said, "I'm delivering them into your hands." And he did. They walked around Jericho and never fired a shot. You know how we conquer? We go forth preaching the gospel. That's what we use. We don't use military weapons. We don't take up arms. We preach the gospel. And men are set free. These angels we see here in this text are bound in the great river Euphrates, and everybody wants to speculate what all that means. But we just see that they're bound wherever that is till the time of judgment. Then they are turned loose, but only to do God's bidding. Like I said, they're just sitting there waiting. All you have to do is say, go. And we will do what we were designed to do, what we were intended to do. These instruments of judgment cannot move until they are bidden. Listen, Ezekiel 38, I was reading this week, and it just tied in with this point. He said, I will turn, Ezekiel 38, 4, now listen, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth. God said, I'll bring you forth, and all thine army, and all your horses and your horsemen, and of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Then in verse 18, and it shall come to pass, at the same time when Gog shall come against Israel, saith the Lord, now listen to this statement, that my fury shall come up in my face. You ever seen somebody just get real mad? That's what he's saying, my fury has come up in my face. He said, I'm going to put hooks in your jaws and I'm going to pull you down here. But he said, then the fury is going to come up in my face. He said, I've had enough. God is a God of mercy. God is, he doesn't have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but God is a God of justice. You see, how do you know that? Look at the cross of Calvary. He spared not his own son. He spared not his own son. And he will avenge his people. He will, and he'll avenge his own name. Then through verses 15 and 19, through verse 15 through verse 19, the length of this battle, the length of this war, and the damage that will be caused by these wars is already determined. Not by men, but by God. You know, I think about this, I can't help it. I've made mention of this several times. It's just like Woody Wilson. Why did he survive? It's like your daddy. It's untelling how many men just died on that island that day. It was like they slaughtered them. Why did he preserve? Because God's going to use him. God preserved him. God protected him. So we could have a place where we could worship God. Yes, he did. He uses means. You mean spared him. Spared him. You know, you wouldn't see things like that, and you'd never forget it. It's like Woody Wilson. He said every time he goes to that monument where they're raising the flag there in Washington, he said, I start remembering these things. Remembering. But these things are determined. What we have here in these verses, described by these horsemen and these horses, these are equipment and machinery of war. That's what it's describing. Guns and cannons and bombs. What are those things? They're instruments of war, which are made to destroy men's lives. Battleships, helicopters, tanks, those things, those are instruments of war. And men try to see as they can get as many as they can get to outnumber the other guy, and all that's what these things are, and they serve a purpose. When these angels are loosed, they come forth, and John's describing them, the smoke coming out of their mouth, and they have power in their tails, and they are sent to do one thing, kill a third part of men upon the earth. And we go, oh my goodness. Men take God lightly, don't they? But then in verses 20 and 21, God's purpose in these wars is all temporal. These are providential judgments. These are judgments. Why? Why does God use these things? Do you know that in wrath, remember mercy? God just not trying to just see how many men he can kill. That's not the reason. He's doing it to warn men. How are men warned? Well, they wake up, you know, come on. The blowing the trumpet, it's time to wake up. Judgment's coming. I don't believe it. I can remember exactly where I was at when 9/11, and it's hard to believe what next week it will be 9/11, 19 years. And one can remember where they were at that morning. It got men's attention. I don't remember, but apart from the Civil War, we had nothing like that on our soil. And they just, how in the world did they do that? With the technology we had, how did they pull that off? We know why. It's a miracle it wasn't worse. It's a miracle one didn't hit the White House. But you see what I'm saying? We see it even in our own lives. But even in that, you say, how could that be mercy? It's time to wake up, America. It's time to wake up. God sends warnings. To warn men and women of the wrath and judgment. Wrath and judgment to come. And, you know, then false preachers, they go out, and here's what they say. They would say, God had nothing to do with that. Right? Isn't that what they would say? God, our God's not like that. God is a God of, our God is love. God is love. That's exactly right. But he will punish sin. He's not some mamby-pamby God. He says when his fury comes up in his face, I don't think he was laughing when he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think he was laughing that day he went in there and he drove those people when the Son of God drove them out of the temple. I don't think he's laughing about it. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Paul knew the heaviness of his brethren who were lost and they're under the judgment of God because God sent them blindness. And they're still trying to earn their salvation. What judgment? We see it on every hand. Listen, in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they've not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused. They've refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock, and they refuse to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. You don't want to receive correction? I've tried to correct you, and you won't listen? Psalm 78, verse 22, because they believed not in God, and trusted not in his salvation, though he had commanded the clouds above them and opened the doors of heaven. Let me read you another one. Amos chapter 4, verse 6. Now listen. I've given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, and wine of bread in all your palaces. Yet you've not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Also I have withholden rain from you, when there was yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon and the piece whereon it was rained withered not. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have smitten you with blastings and mildew when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased. The pomel worm destroyed them. Yet have you not returned unto me, saith the Lord. 3 times he said, you've not returned unto me. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword and have taken away your horses. And I have made the stink of your camp to come up in your nostrils. Yet you've not returned unto me, saith the Lord. I have overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet have ye not returned unto me, saith the Lord? Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. And because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. That is a very sobering statement. But how many times that he said, I did this and you wouldn't return. I did this and you wouldn't return. Okay now. Now you get ready. You're getting ready to meet God. You're getting ready to go out and face a holy, just God. Prepare to meet your God. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts. is his name. But he brought all this judgment. But judgment or fear of judgment will never, ever bring about repentance. It never will. That's why religion can't bring about repentance. It's based on works. It's based on threats. It's based on terror. Based on judgment. Those who lived after the flood were no different than those who saw the whole world destroyed. Every imagination before the flood, every imagination of the thoughts of men's heart were on evil continually. And then in chapter 8, after the flood, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. It never changed. Can you imagine Noah and his sons telling their children and grandchildren about the flood? Why he sent the flood? It don't bother them. It didn't change them. Man, it bothers them for a little while, and then they shrug it off. They forget about it. They forget about it. Woody Wilson, he never forgot it. He never forgot what he saw. God wakes men up. But listen, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." How does God speak? Well, God speaks through his word. God speaks through creation. He speaks by his spirit. But how else does God speak? He speaks through wars. He speaks through judgment. What did he say to Israel? Okay, I spoke, and you wouldn't hear. You wouldn't hear. You didn't want to hear. You didn't want to think about me. And he said, now prepare to meet you, God. "Give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken." God speaks. "I've nourished you and brought up children, and they've rebelled against me." I know what it is to see rebellious children. And it's like there's nothing you can do to correct them. Everything you do, they just get meaner and meaner and more violent and more. That's how men are. He said the ox knows its owner. An old dumb ox knows who its owner is. And the ass, the old dumb ass, knows its master's crib. It knows who he gives it something to eat. You'll see something funny come up to the house sometime and watch three goats follow Sandy. It was funny. It wasn't funny yesterday. We was going down to the neighbor's house. We was going to carry her. It was trash day this morning, so we was going to take it out to the road. I kept saying, "Boy, them goats here, they sound like an awful plane." Well, we look up her driveway, and there's three goats coming down the driveway, chasing us like a bunch of dogs. They know who their owner is. An old dumb goat? Yep. And you know what? You know how we took them back home? We just went back up the hill, and they followed us. He's saying, the ox knows its master's crib. That old dumb animal, its own instinct. But Israel does not know. My people does not even consider. Who gave them something to eat? He did. Who gives them rain from heaven? He does. Who gives them breath to breathe? He does. My people does not consider. A sinful nation. People laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They're gone away backward. He said, why should I stricken you anymore? Why should I correct you anymore? You'll just revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. What's the use of me to correct you? You ain't going to listen. It is the goodness of God and not the judgment of God that leads men to repentance. God shows mercy to whom he will show mercy. I'm so thankful I was born where I was born. I'm thankful I was born when I was born. I'm glad I was born to the parents that I was born to. I'm so thankful. I'm thankful to live in this generation in which we live in one of the best generations ever. Now, I know they say Brother Joe's generation was one of the best generations ever. But I believe this generation, we have the privilege to take the gospel to the whole world. The whole world. Terrors of God's law nor threats of His wrath will not produce repentance. Listen, in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, "And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem," now listen, "the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced." That's what breaks you. When you see Him, the Son of God, being the substitute that was pierced, "and they shall mourn for Him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn." And that's what brings about repentance. We know, we realize that we're the children of wrath, even as others. We come to realize we ought to die. God ought to leave us alone. But why would God show us mercy? Why would God spare us? He saw fit to do so. Our Lord will avenge His own elect for His own name's sake. He will not forsake His people for His great name's sake. You know why? Because it's pleased the Lord to make you His people. You go, look how the Lord's people were treated. If that was my child, I wouldn't put up with it for a minute. The fury would come up in my face, but God's not like us. Look how long He puts up with it. Look how long He suffers it. Look how this world's treated. Look how they still treat His people. Look how they treat Him. Look how they treat Him. They don't love Him. They don't care for Him. And He in mercy. You know why He does it? Because He's got an elect remnant. The reason he could not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah as long as Lot was in Sodom. The only thing that holds back God's justice is mercy to His people. You know why? We are not appointed unto wrath. We are vessels of mercy. He takes from the same old depraved lump of clay, and He makes one unto honor and one unto dishonor. Hath not the potter the power over the clay? Oh, yeah, He does. You know why we believe that? He's taught us that. We serve Him not out of fear, not out of judgment. You know, people, they said, that's terrifying. No, not if you know Him. You see His hand in it. And we, you know, whatever, all things, remember, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We may not understand it. We may get mad at second causes, but God's the first cause of all things. If it's happening, it's happening for a reason. And I know it's for His glory. They're going to know. He's God. And He does it for His own name's sake. Let's pray.